Guys, okay, before we go to Shmuel, I want you to remember. Remember we said in Yehoshua that Yehoshua was basically an idyllic book, but there was a hidden clue that things were about to go bad. Right? And Shoftim is the opposite. Good. Where is the upside in Shoftim? Before we get to Shmuel.
The king.
The end part. That we need a king.
Wrong. Wrong. And this is because you guys don't know Tanakh, and this is going to be the mini shir. This really is mini. No. No, no. Not everything is bleak in the time of Shoftim. How do I know?
Is it Shoftim?
Where?
In Shoftim.
Wrong.
No. In Tessayin.
No.
Part 9.
No.
No.
In Megillat Rut.
Whoa.
Because Megillat Rut starts out Vahi be made Shvot HaShoftim. Rut for 10 minutes, guys. Rut is a short little 4-parak book that happens at the same time. Not everything is as bleak as you think if you know history. If you realize that, if we know, don't follow Tanakh now in the order you have in your Tanakh, but chronologically, right, you realize that the book that is contemporaneous with Shoftim is the one that it says is contemporaneous with, which is
Rus.
Now, in 10-15 minutes, let's review why that's important. Rus, what's the story? Good. Let's do it very quickly. Okay, you guys should know the story. Rus. What happens? There's a guy named Avimelech. He lives in Beit Lechem, right? Every time Mayor asks me, what is Beit Lechem? I don't want to scare him, so I tell him, remember, that's where Boaz lives. And he's like, all right. And then every time it's like, you know, when Boaz went to his field, that's here, where we live, Dagon. The outskirts, right, green. That's why it's named, right, the outskirts of Beit Lechem. Right, Ar Hayom. Right, Ar Hayom.
Cool.
So, there's a guy named Avimelech from Beit Lechem.
What's this scare?
Oh, they want to kill you.
Have you been to Beit Lechem?
Oh.
If you go to Yoga Lab.
Yeah.
Can
they
get lynched?
Okay. Yes. Anyways, good. So he lives in Beit Lechem. Listen, guys. Guys, let's do this quickly. So Avimelech goes to Beit Lechem during a famine. We don't really know why that's wrong. Chazal have all types of speculations of why that's wrong. But at any rate, he dies. And he has two sons, Machlon and Kilion, and they marry two local women, Ruth and Orpah.
Naomi.
Ruth and Orpah.
Orpah?
Orpah. No. Avimelech is married to Naomi.
Right.
And then he has two sons-in-law. So he has two sons, Machlon and Kilion, who marry Ruth and Orpah.
Yes.
Okay? Now, after they die, so Naomi just hears the famine is over, she decides to go home. And she says to her daughters-in-law, don't come with me. And what do they say?
No.
No. They both say we're coming. They both say we're coming.
Wait, you heard all the men died?
They both say no.
Yes, all the men died. They both say we're coming. Right, Ruth and Orpah both say we're coming. Then she pushes again and says, look, I have nobody for you to marry. I have nothing I can do. I have no money. I have no nothing.
They still both.
No. Now Orpah says... Now Orpah says, okay, I'm going home. And Ruth says, right, Amecha mi, Elokayach Elokay, right? That whole thing. I'll go where you go, your nations, etc. So then what happens? Ruth and Naomi go back to Beit Lechem. They have no food. They don't know what they're going to do. So Ruth decides to take advantage of the laws of Shechicha and Peah and the like and go and Leket. Yes, and Leket and Shechem Peah go and collect the gleanings from the local, the closest place that she finds, which happens to be Boaz. It happens to be Boaz. Right? And then what happens?
Naomi says, oh, yeah, I'm related to Boaz.
Right? Boaz sees her, figures out who she is, says, oh, I've heard everything that's going on. Don't go anywhere else. Right? Stay here. Right? Only collect in my field. Tells his servants to drop extra. Right?
How are they related?
So they're like distantly related. Right? Yes. And Avimelech. Right. Right, to her husband's family. right? But Boaz sees Ruth and says, look, stick around my field. Unbeknownst to Ruth, he tells his workers, drop extra stuff. So she goes home with a mound of grain. Naomi says, whoa, where'd you collect that much? And she says, I don't know, I came to this guy's field named Boaz. And Naomi's like, that's incredible. I didn't even think of him. He's related to us. He's a Goel. This is great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sneak in the middle of the night when he's out in the field and basically seduce him, right? She goes in the middle of the night. He wakes up and behold, there's a woman at his feet. And she says, and there's a lot of sexual innuendos in those psukim because it indicate that there is a sexual overtone here. But what is, instead of seduction actually happening, what happens? Boaz says, you are a tzaddiket. Listen, I'm going to redeem you, but first I got to check. There's one other guy, right? Ploni Almoni. So let's wait. The next day, he calls together a Beis Din. He calls together Ploni Almoni. He says, what?
The new boys are an Yibam type thing. That's why he's a closer relative to Naomi than me.
No, they can be through a type of Yibam Gula.
Basically, not the casual way.
What a good guy.
It's not a loophole. It's a mitzvah. Yes, it's a mitzvah. You're smarty. You should know that Ad Hayom we paskin, it's a mitzvah. We don't do it lamaisa, but it is. Svardim did Yibam until like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what it. Yes. What? Because eventually, Ravadia still would tell people to do Yibam. Ad Hayom, it was just that eventually the Svardi community didn't like it, and that's why Ksubas in Israel write in that they won't do Yibam. Right? Because really the Svardi psak is to do Yibam, even if you have another wife. Right? Long story. Not for now. Right? Interesting history. Not for now. Anyways, another point. So Boaz gets together a Beis Din. He says to Ploni Almoni, listen guy, do you want to redeem the field of Avimelech? And he says, as Avimelech's family, of Kilion. Is Gula. This is what Ben Ezra points out. It's not Yibam, it's Geula, right? That it's not the formal mitzvah of Yibam, but there is a value called Geula, right? Which is a relative who's not formally in Yibam, there's still a value to it. That's pre-Matan Torah, so that's a bit different, but yes, that's where Ben Ezra says it. He says that you see
Geula
that...
it's not the derisa.
It's not clear what it is because it's the function of Yibam. It's a value. It's a daraisa value. It's not the chiyuv of the way Yibam is, but it's a value.
It's not an isser either.
Yibam requires a matir because otherwise it would be eshes ach. Right. This doesn't have an isser and doesn't have the full mitzvah either. But it's a value. It's not a full blown isser. It's not a full blown mitzvah chiyuv either. But it's a value. Okay. So Boaz offers it to Ploni Almoni. He says to him, listen, I want you to redeem the fields. He says, sure. He says, okay, but if you want the fields, the woman comes along. He says, nah, my legacy is going to be lost. So Boaz says to the Beis Din, you see what happened? They said, good, we saw. He says, okay, I'm going to marry her. Right? He marries her, takes the fields, they have a child, and the great-grandchild is David, and that's the end of the book. Right? It's a beautiful book. Why is this important to remember? Yes, meaning Shoftim, like Yoshua, is presenting a very particular, and this is something I need you to understand, right? And I've been trying to get this into your heads for the nights, and now let me put it very, very sharply, because here it comes out in a very belate way, right? In a very stark way, which is the books of Tanakh, remember, are literary constructs. They are books, and therefore they have a message. And therefore, it doesn't fit the message of Shoftim to tell you that, by the way, there are all these nice, wonderful people running around, right? But obviously there were, because as bad as the world is, there are always some good people, right? Or as Reich Chaim Angel says, you open up Rus and you're like, whoa, based on everything else I know about Shoftim, these are the nicest people in Israel, right? Like, but there is, it's not all bleak, right? And the seeds of the Geula, right? The seeds of the actual good king are born not after Shoftim is over, but during the period of Shoftim, meaning there is a ray of light, Right? And that is called Megillas Ruth, but you only realize that if you bother reading the first pasuk in Megillas Ruth. It's not a drasha, but he be made for the shoftim. Yes, but my point is that at the same time, right now, Eli, Chazal say, look, this book ain lo bo iser velo heter, right? It has no halachot, so why is it even written? To tell you the schar of Gemilas Chasadim. I mean, for Chazal, Rus is the paradigmatic book of Chesed. Right? So it's important to realize that as bleak as the picture is in Shoftim, simultaneously, there is a redeeming factor. There are nice people. Right? And when I gave this in Toronto, right, there are two things I'd say about Rus. One is that there's a Chakira in Rus. Right? There's two ways of reading Rus. One is to say that Rus is the book of all the best people on the face of the planet at that time. Right? Because think about it. Rus, right? I mean, who's the worst character? Who's like the worst character in the book? Arpa, right? Who first tries to stay with her mother-in-law.
Listen,
in Pshat, Avimelech, we don't know why it's wrong that he left the country. It does, the passage doesn't say. We just know he dies. Right? Okay, Chazal tried to figure it out, but in Pshat, right? Meaning the Psukim go out of their way to not tell you why he died. He just left and he dies. There's no sin recorded.
Yeah.
Right? Actually, Chazal assume it's punishment, but it never says explicitly. And he's never
positive.
Yeah, and is he criticized for it anywhere in the book? Yeah, Chazal say they converted. Yeah. Haraya. They go on to do Geula. Clearly they're viewed by everyone else as legitimate wives, somewhat, right? Who's the only one who seems to think that they're not legitimate? Ploni Almoni, who gets literally written out of the book. He doesn't have a name. He's called anonymous, right? Boaz, who recognizes that this is a legitimate wife, becomes the great-great-grandfather of the Davidic dynasty, right? This is like... So yeah, Avimelech, Machlon, Kilian, maybe they did something wrong, but the Tanakh goes out of its way not to tell you. Right? Arpa! Oh, the evil Arpa, which Chazal like build up her sins. In Pshat, how bad is she?
No, not bad at all. She's going back home.
She even tries to stay with Nami. It's only after Nami pushes her more than once that she says, okay, I'll go home. Right? Which is not like the worst thing in the world. Right? And then who are the main characters? Rus, who says, I will follow you into destitution, but I will not leave you, O mother-in-law. You have Naomi, who says to her daughters-in-law, please, don't come for me. Right? Don't take care of me. Go, have lives of your own. I have nothing to give you. Right? You have all these altruistic people. Like, you have Boaz saying, please, come and get food. Right? I'll give you food. I'm willing to marry, even if there's a danger to my legacy, whatever that is. Right? It's like the book of superheroes. Right? And that's one way of reading the book. There's another way of reading the book.
It doesn't make sense that the best people around, considering that they were able to be Zocha having David.
Yes, and it's Shoftim. Remember what everyone else is doing. They're literally gang raping and having civil wars, right? And then you have like these people who like they're fighting on how much am I going to take care of the other person. It's like, right, it's Yomam Valayla, right? Now, there is another way of reading it, which is Rus is clearly a superhero, as I pashut, right? But here's where it gets interesting to read in Shoftim. She literally gives the speech that becomes the basis of how we deal with conversion forever because she was such a good convert and she takes care of her mother-in-law. In Pshat. Amech, Amech, Elokayech, Elokay. Like in Pshat, she is like...
Oh, she just converts. No, it's not like any different.
Boaz tells her in Perek, Bet, Pasuk Yod. She says, why am I so good? Why are you being so nice to me? I'm a stranger. And you know what he says? Vayan Boaz, Vayomer lo, who godly, kol asher asit et chamotech, achrei mod isheich, vatazvi avich v'imeich, v'erez molatech, v'telchi el am asher lo yodat, timol shel shom.
That's a Gabby conversation.
Right, he says, you helped your mother-in-law. I've heard everything you've done to your mother-in-law. You left your own parents to come to a strange country to take care of your mother-in-law. Yishalem Adonai Paalech, the He Maskurte Shleima, Mim Adonai, Hey Israel, Asher Bodel Chasot, Tachan Grafav, God should bless you. Right? Like, if you just follow Pshat, Ruth is like, she is incredible. She is kind. She is selfless. She is from, she's everything. She is, there's no way of reading of Megillas Rus and not saying Rus is a superhero in Tanakh.
Except for when she accuses
God. No, because she doesn't. Nami tells her to, and instead she shows up, and when she had the chance to seduce him, she carries out a civil conversation, lays out the options, and doesn't, like, at no point does she do anything but be perfect.
No,
the sexual overtones in the words, which imply that that was what was intended or what Nami wanted to do, but she doesn't do it. Meaning, it goes out of its way to outline that that seems to be the intention, right? It's like building you up to think that she's about to seduce him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I can prove that to you. You can look. Right? It's Vatir Nagorim Vatas Kachasher Tzivta Kamota, right? Tas in general is a sexual word. Vayochal Boaz Vayesh Vayitav Libo Vayavol Lishkav, right? He goes to lie down, which can either mean lie down or, right? You know, it can mean sex. But Seha Arema at the pile, which is a pun. Arema, it's also Aruma, right? Also nakedness. Vatavo Balad Vatigal Marglotav Vatishkav, she reveals his feet, which is also an innuendo in general for, right? It can either mean literally feet, but it can also mean the sexual organ. Vatishkav, and she lies down, which could mean he slept with or lie down. She only lies down, but it's clear that the words are, right, are pointing that this should be seduction, and she doesn't do it. Right?
How is it clear that they don't? Meaning, every time I read Rus, it was always unclear to me whether or not they were actually.
Oh no, because he wakes up and he says, "Who are you?" And then they have a discussion. She says, "I'm Rus," and he says, "Wait till tomorrow. We'll deal with it tomorrow."
I know, boss. The one who.
Meaning, in the end, but at the end of the day, what could she have said? Who cares who I am? Right? I'm a beautiful woman who showed up at your door, right? At your feet, in your bed, right? Like. Seduction doesn't need, right? Like, she didn't have to do that. Whatever.
I just don't know what Boaz like.
Listen.
He's a pretty good guy.
Boaz is a great guy. But, like I said, the Hakira, so to speak, in Rus is, everyone agrees Rus is awesome. There's no two ways about that. And everyone agrees that Boaz and Nami are good people. The question... What?
She doesn't sound like spectacular. Oh, amazing.
No. According to Pshat, she is. According to Pshat... Like Boaz
converted, and that was no.
I mean that Boaz literally says you are awesome.
Yeah, bro.
Shot.
Out of the whole, like she like left her, like she had no reason to go with Nami. Like
that's like every convert.
Ellie. Stop. The psukim. Forget what you think. The psukim tell you. Boaz captures the perception of everybody, which is she is awesome.
Very nice, and she left for Nami. Yeah, that's a good thing. It's like
that's incredible. Shoftim is this book. This is during the period of civil war where people.
Compared to others, she's really good.
No, she's awesome.
I don't know my Shoftim this.
Yo, Elliot, everybody.
Because it's Bimei Shvoda.
She's not even Jewish, and she decides to go ahead and be a.
So is that compared to others?
Wait, so. No, and she's being praised not just for that, but for the way she treats her mother in law, for kindness.
Well, that's, she's a very nice person, but Almi's like a that out there.
What do you mean? That's not how Boaz takes it. I'm saying in Pshat, Boaz thinks she's a superhero.
I know,
you can do whatever. You can say whatever you want.
Sucked.
What? No, he just says you are a superhero. That's what he says to her. You are awesome. Right? Now listen. She's clearly awesome. There's no way of not reading Rosie without getting to the fact that she's awesome. The question is Nami and Boaz. Nami, one way of reading it is that she's awesome. Right? And that Boaz is awesome. There is a slight problem here, which is that it's possible, it's ambiguous, that Naomi, when he's pushing her away, isn't just pushing her away for their sake, but is pushing them away for her sake. Because what do we know when we get back to Beit Lechem?
She's Mara.
That first of all, she's Mara, but also, what do we learn from Ploni Almoni?
They don't like the Moabi girl.
Oh.
Yeah, meaning they're right. Bringing back Rus, she is at some level also a liability, right? So you don't know whether it's fully altruistic when she says go home. Also, remember, it's a bit weird. What does she say? What does she? Well, you're bringing back someone who's a non-Jewish convert that clearly there's a certain level of racism against, right? As Ploni Almoni says, right? I don't want to marry her because I would destroy my legacy, right? So it's possible. And there's also the fact that, what did Naomi say to Rus? Don't come with me because what? What did Naomi say to her? Why shouldn't you come back? I have nobody for you to marry. Is that true?
No.
It turns out not to be true. Now, it could be that Naomi forgot or wasn't thinking about it. Right, so it could be she wasn't thinking. It could be that it's a surprise, right? But it could also be that she's not thinking too hard, right?
Why didn't Naomi tell Rus to seduce Boaz?
Well, that's part of it. Maybe she thought that Boaz wouldn't, of his own initiative, really... Right, go through with it unless there was a bit of pushing. Right, it's not.
Well, she was trying to set Rus up with a nice, rich husband.
Who's related? Yeah.
And push their whole situation out.
Yeah, basically. Now there's also a kasha on Boaz, right? There's a kasha on Boaz because we also say Boaz is great, which he is, except
he's one of the shoftim.
I mean, according to Chazal, he's Iftan, but there's a bigger problem. He is great, but there's one little thing that's a bit weird about Boaz. If your relative came to you and was destitute, what would you do? You'd give them money. What is this? Only collect in my field. And then he tells the servants, drop extra stuck on the floor for her. Like,
just
invite her. You're like clearly a rich landowner. Invite Naomi and Rus.
That's the thing if she thinks she's earning herself.
She's not earning herself. He's saying, collect only leket and shikha in my field. Mean, collect stucca. This is not a job. He didn't give her a job. He said, collect stucca in my field. That's not independence.
Because
it's stucca. He's saying, be a charity case, but only my charity case. Right? That's...
No, Ali, it was viewed, because shikha, pay a market, were viewed as,
welfare.
Social welfare program.
Yeah, it's like...
First of all,
it was a massive,
even if it's the same thing as a job in actuality. Like
yeah. So listen. So guys. So this is the two possibilities in the book. One possibility is that, Rus is totally altruistic, Naomi is totally altruistic, and Boaz is totally altruistic. The second possibility is that Rus is totally altruistic, and Naomi and Boaz are both pretty good, but... they might have a little bit of self-interest in it as well. Why is that important?
I don't know.
Because remember, why am I doing Rus now? This is during the period of the Shoftim. If they're all Gantz Tzadikim, then part of the message of Rus is that it's not totally bleak. There are good people around. But if Rus is the only one who's fully altruistic, and the other people are like good but not perfect, then what's the message of Rus?
Everyone sucks.
That, Shoftim is terrible, there are a few decent people, and the only really good person who can bring Geula to the Jewish people is a non-Jew who converts from Moab, because if she comes, then there's hope for a king. Right, so when you put Rus next to Shoftim, you realize that part of the question is, yes, there's hope, but where did that hope come from? Does it really come from the Jews? Or, at least part of the message, is the only reason the Jews managed to get out of this mess is because there are better people in Moab. And this comes back to your question, which is, why do the Jews remain chosen? It's a good question, but part of it is because good people from the other nations, right, integrate in, and that's the only way we get David. Right, so... Rus is a corrective, but it's also sort of a criticism that the only way we manage to get out of the muck and mire of Shoftim is when a non-Jewish woman shows up, converts, right, and teaches the Jewish people what it means to be kind. That's quite an indictment on the period of the Shoftim, which sets it up for Shmuel. One last point, which I don't want to develop now, but it's something to think about, is that one of the beautiful things about Rus that I love is the way it uses, and I've mentioned this before, is the way it uses names, right? Is that very quickly, right, in Rus, how do you deserve a legacy? What makes you deserve a legacy?
Your name.
Being selfless, right? Mm-hmm. Right, because Ploni Almoni says, I'm worried to marry Rus because I'll lose my legacy. Right? I'll lose my legacy. So what's his punishment for caring too much about himself? He's called Ploni Amoni. And even Machlon and Kilion, right? Who are? What does Machlon and Kilion mean? What does Machlon and Kilion mean?
Destruction.
Destruction and illness. Right? Now it could also mean Mechila. It's also, it could mean other things. But one way of reading is Machlon and Kilion. So the people who get like erased either have bad names or no name. Right? The people who care about others are the ones whose legacy is carried on. Now, Yael Ziegler has pointed out that there's one other story that plays with names in this way, and that is Pilegish. Yes, but for our purposes, Pilegish Begifa. The Pilegish Begifa, which is the lowest of the low in Shoftim, everyone loses their names. It's all anonymous. It's a guy from Levi with a Pilegish, right? And when you put the two stories next to each other and you realize that they are commentaries on each other, you realize that that's part of the end of Shoftim as well. If you're evil, right, you lose your identity and your legacy. But if you're righteous like Rus, then you will get a legacy and you'll build the kingship. So Rus is important to do before Shmuel because it reminds you things aren't that bleak. But in order for them not to be bleak, what do you need? In this particular case, you need a non-Jew to come in and teach us what it means to be kind. Right, and she's either as righteous as Naomi and Boaz, or even more righteous, but it's clear that the king doesn't get to be born that solves the Shoftim problem without a non-Jew coming in and teaching us what it means to be kind, right? And also, what you learn when you contrast it to Pelegish Begiva is that you only get a legacy. You only get the legacy specifically of kingship if you care about others, right? Not if you care about yourself, like in Pelegish Begiva. So Rus, if you want to have a fuller picture, has to be done before Shmuel to remind us of the seeds of hope that already exist in Shoftim that become manifest when we move to the next chronological book, which is Shoftim. Let's take a pause.